This morning we have read and we have sung about the shepherd. We've prayed unto that shepherd. And now I'd like to read probably the most famous passage concerning that shepherd, the 23rd Psalm. Following this, Brother Woodruff will speak to us this morning. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Will you listen attentively as I read James K. Wallace's description of the Basque sheepherder and the shepherd psalm? Old Ferrando de Alfonso was a Basque sheepherder employed by a big Nevada sheep outfit. He was rated as one of the top sheep rangers in the state, and rightly so. For back of him were at least 20 generations of Iberian sheep herders. But De Alfonso was more than just a sheep herder. He was a patriarch of his guild, the traditions and the secrets of which had been handed down from generation to generation. Despite a long absence from his homeland, he was, when I knew him, still full of the legends, the mysteries, the religious fervor of his native hills. I sat with him one night under the clear, starry skies, his sheep bedded down beside a sparkling pool of water. As we were preparing to curl up in our blankets, he suddenly began a dissertation in a jargon of Greek and Basque. When he had finished, I asked him what he had said. In reply, he began to quote in English the 23rd Psalm. There on the desert, I learned the shepherd's literal interpretation of this beautiful poem. David and his ancestors, said De Alfonso, knew sheep and their ways. And David has translated a sheep's musing into simple words. The daily repetition of this psalm fills the sheep herder with reverence for his calling. Our guild takes this poem as a lodestone to guide us. It is our bulwark when the days are hot or stormy, when the nights are dark, when wild animals surround our bands. Many of its lines are the statements of the simple requirements and actual duties of a Holy Land shepherd, whether he lives today or followed that calling 6,000 years ago. Phrase by phrase, it has a well-understood meaning for us. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Sheep instinctively know, says De Alfonso, that before they have been folded for the night, the shepherd has planned out their grazing for the morrow. It may be that he'll take them back over the same range, or it may be that he'll go to new grazing ground. They don't worry. His guidance has been good in the past, and they have faith in the future because they know that he has their well-being in view. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Sheep graze from around 3:30 in the morning until about 10. They then lie down for 3 or 4 hours and rest, said De Alfonso. When they are contentedly chewing their cuds, The shepherd knows that they are putting on fat. Consequently, the good shepherd starts his flocks out in the early hours on the rougher herbage, moving on through the morning to the richer, sweeter grasses, and finally coming to the shady place for the forenoon rest in fine green pastures, best grazing of the day. Sheep resting in such happy surroundings feel contentment. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Every shepherd knows, said the Basque, that sheep will not drink gurgling water. There are many small springs high in the hills of the Holy Land, whose waters run down the valleys only to evaporate in the desert sun. Although the sheep need the water, they will not drink from these fast-flowing streams. The shepherd must find a place where rocks or erosion have made a little pool, or else he fashions with his hands a pocket sufficient to hold at least a bucketful. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. In the Holy Land, went on D. Alfonso, each shepherd takes his place in the grazing line in the morning and keeps the same position throughout the day. Once during the day, however, each sheep leaves its place and goes to the shepherd, whereupon the shepherd stretches out his hand and rubs the animal's nose and ears, scratches its chin, whispers affectionately into its ears. The sheep, meanwhile, rubs up against his leg, or if the shepherd is sitting down, nibbles at his ear and rubs its cheek against his face. After a few minutes of this communion with the master, the sheep returns to his place in the feeding line. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. There is an actual valley of the shadow of death in Palestine, and every sheepherder from Spain to Dalmatia knows of it. It is south of the Jericho road leading from Jerusalem to the Dead Sea, and it is a narrow defile through a mountain range. Climatic and grazing conditions make it necessary for the sheep to be moved through this valley for seasonal feeding each year. The valley is 4.5 miles long. Its side walls are over 1,500 feet high in places, and it is only 10 or 12 feet wide at the bottom. Travel through the valley is dangerous because its floor has gullies 7 or 8 feet deep. Actual footing on solid rock is so narrow in many places that a sheep cannot turn around, and it is the universal unwritten law of shepherds that flocks must go up the valley in the morning hours and down toward the eventide, lest flocks meet in the defile. About halfway through the valley, the walk crosses from one side to the other at a place where the path is cut in two by an 8-foot gully. One side of the gully is about 18 inches higher than the other. The sheep must jump across it. The shepherd stands at this break and coaxes or forces the sheep to make the leap. If a sheep slips and lands in the gully, the shepherd's rod is brought into play. The old-style crook circles a large sheep's neck or a small sheep's chest, and the animal is lifted to safety. If a more modern, narrow crook is used, the sheep is caught about the hoofs and lifted up to the walk. Many wild dogs lurk in the shadows of the valley, looking for prey. The shepherd, skilled in throwing his staff, uses it as a weapon. Thus the sheep have learned to fear no evil, even in the valley of the shadow of death, for their master is there to protect them from harm. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. David's meaning is simple. Once, said D. Alfonso, that the conditions on the Holy Land sheep ranges are known. Poisonous plants which are fatal to grazing animals abound. Each spring, the shepherd must be constantly alert. When he finds the plants, he takes his mattock and goes on ahead of the flock. grubbing out every stalk and root that he can see. As he digs out the stalks, he lays them upon little stone pyres, some of which were built by shepherds in Old Testament days. And by the morrow, they are dry enough to burn. When the pasture is free from poisonous plants, the sheep are led into it, and in the presence of their plant enemies, they eat in peace. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. At every sheepfold there is a big earthen bowl of olive oil and a large jar of water. As the sheep come in for the night, they are led to a gate. The shepherd lays his rod across the top of the gateway, just above the backs of the sheep. As each sheep passes, he quickly examines it for briars in the ears, snags in the cheek, or weeping of the eyes from dust or scratches. When such conditions are found, he drops the rod across the sheep's back, and it steps out of line. Each sheep's wounds are carefully cleaned. Then the shepherd dips his hand into the olive oil and anoints the injury. A large cup is dipped into the jar of water, kept cool by evaporation in the unglazed pottery, and is brought out, never half full, but always overflowing. The sheep will sink its nose into the water, clear to the eyes, if fevered, and drink until fully refreshed. When all the sheep are at rest, the shepherd places his staff within reach in case it is needed during the night. Then he wraps himself in his woolen robe and lies down across the gateway, facing the sheep for his night's repose. So, concluded D'Alfonso, after all the care and protection the shepherd has given it, a sheep may well soliloquize in the twilight as translated into words by David, "Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." In the light of that beautiful expression of the 23rd Psalm, and in the light of the reading that Brother Jones read this morning from John 10, and especially this passage where he says, "I am the good shepherd, I know my own, and my own know me," I'm going to ask that all of us here today, who, because of our relationship with the good shepherd, repeat together this 23rd Psalm, and this will stand as our commitment today, that he is our shepherd and we are his sheep. Would you repeat this together? "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And in the light of this commitment of ourselves to him and of his first commitment to us, we want to eat the supper in the light of what he said also in this 10th chapter of John. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." And the one that we love and serve as our shepherd has done that. On the night in which he was to be betrayed, he gathered his disciples around a table that had been spread, and in a very significant and meaningful gesture, he spread a table for us in the presence of our enemies. And this table is spread this morning. It contains bread and the fruit of the vine, the juice of that fruit. And it commemorates his death. And on that night that he instituted the Lord's Supper, he said, "Take this bread and eat it. It is my body." And then after that, he took a cup and said, "This is the blood of the new covenant. Drink of it, all of you, for it is my blood shed for many for the remission of sins." And so today, as we gather around this table that he has spread for us in the midst of our enemies, let's put our minds with effort and with concentration upon him as our shepherd, and listen as he says to us, "I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep." Having just eaten this supper, we have done what the Apostle Paul says: we have showed forth the Lord's death until he comes. There may be those of you in the congregation this morning who are not yet part of the flock, and you didn't eat the supper, you didn't have a part of the table. We're so thankful that you've come today, and that your presence here indicates that you're favorably inclined toward this shepherd. It may be that your faith is strong enough, even at this hour, that would cause you to want to enter in by that door and become a part of his flock. Jesus said in this 10th chapter of John, "I am the door. If any man enter in by me, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture." And then on down in about the 16th verse, he says, "I have other sheep who are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will heed my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd." He was referring there to you and me as Gentiles. We were not in the flock at the time that he made this statement. And he spoke of that time in prospect, whenever people like you and me would be brought into that flock and be his sheep. And he could say the same thing today. There are people who are not of this flock yet, but they'll hear my voice and will heed it, and then they'll be a part of this one flock and one shepherd. Today, if you would follow this shepherd into the fold, you'll have to follow through the path that he also walked. Jesus told his disciples in Matthew 16 that he would have to go to Jerusalem and be killed and be raised on the third day. And then two or three verses later, after Peter rebuked him for this, and then he had to rebuke Peter, he made it clear what are the terms of entrance into this fold. He said, "If any man would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." And so he asks that we, in faith, turn our lives away from sin and selfishness, deny ourselves, take up his cross, and follow him. And there's a simple initiation rite that we know of as the biblical expression baptism, an immersion into the death of this shepherd and a resurrection out of that death into life. Today, if you would like to be a part of the body of this one, a part of the fold, it's a very simple process if you have faith. And if your faith is sufficient today and you want to be a part of him, then he simply says to you, "Come, turn your back upon yourself, be immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins." He's promised to add you to his body, promised to make you a part of his flock. So we extend to you who are here today, who are not a part of the flock yet, this simple invitation from the shepherd. If you would come and be a part of it, respond now while we encourage you by singing.